motion on the other side of the pile. "More people running away from Dolly Sisters by the look of it," said Colon. "What do you want us to do, Sarge?"
"Keep them out," thought Vimes. "We don't know who they are. We can't let everyone in. Some of them will be trouble. The trouble is, I know what's going on out there. The city is a little slice of hell, and there's no real safety anywhere. And I know what I'm going to decide because I watch me decide it. I don't believe this. I'm standing over there now, a kid who's still clean and pink and full of ideals, looking at me as if I'm some kind of hero. I don't dare not be. I'm going to make the stupid decision because I don't want to look bad in front of myself. Try explaining that to anyone who hasn't had a couple of drinks." "All right, let them through," he said. "But no weapons. Pass the word round."
"Take weapons off, people," said Colon.
"Think about it, Fred. We don't want unmentionables in here, do we? Or soldiers in disguise. A man's got to be vouched for before he can carry arms. I ain't going to be stabbed in the back and the front at the same time. Oh, and Fred. I don't know if I can do this. Probably it won't last. But as far as I'm concerned, you're promoted to sergeant. Anyone who wants to argue about the extra stripe, tell him to argue with me."
Fred Colon's chest, already running to fat, swelled visibly.
"Right, Sarge. Does that mean I still take orders from you?"
Right. I still take orders from you, right."
"Don't move any more barricades. Fill up the alleys. Hold this line. Vimes, you come with me. I'll need a runner."
"I'm pretty runny, Sarge,"
Nobby volunteered from somewhere behind him.
"Then what I want you to do, Nobby, is get out there and find out what's happening now."
Sergeant Dickens turned out to be younger than Vimes remembered, but he was still close to retirement. He'd maintained a flourishing sergeant's moustache, waxed to points and clearly dyed, and the proper sergeant shape, occasioned by means of undisclosed corsetry. He'd spent a lot of time in the regiments, Vimes recalled, although he came from Flamidos originally. The men found that out because he belonged to some druid religion so strict that they didn't even use standing stones, and they were strongly against swearing, which is a real handicap in a sergeant. Or would be, if sergeants weren't so good at improvising. He was currently in Welcome Soap, a continuation of Cable Street. And he had the army. It wasn't much of one. No two weapons were exactly alike, and most of them were not, strictly speaking, weapons. Vimes shuddered when he saw the crowd and had a flashback, which was probably a flash forward, to all the domestic disputes he'd attended over the years. You knew where you were with strictly speaking weapons when they came at you. It was the not-strictly-speaking ones that scared the khaki out of a new recruit. It was the meat cleavers tied to poles. It was the long spikes and the meat hooks. This was, after all, the area of small traders, porters, butchers and longshoremen. And so standing in raggedy lines in front of Vimes were men who, every day, peacefully and legally, handled things with blades and spikes that made a mere sword look like a girl's hatpin. There were classic weapons, too. Men had come back from wars with their sword or their halberd.
"Weapons? Gods bless you, sir, no, them's mementos."
And the sword had probably been used to poke the fire, and the halberd had done duty as a support for one end of the washing line, and their original use had been forgotten. Until now. Vimes stared at the metalwork. All this lot would have to do to win a battle would be to stand still. If the enemy charged them hard enough, he'd come out the other side as mince.
"Some of them are retired watchmen, sir," Dickens whispered. "A lot of them have been in the regiments at one time or another, see? There's a few kids wanting to see some action, you know how it is. What do you think?"
"I'd certainly hate to fight them," said Vimes.
At least a quarter of the men had white hair, and more than a few were using their weapons as a means of support.
"Come to that, I'd hate to be responsible for giving them an order. If I said about turn to this lot, it'd be raining limbs."
"They're resolute, sir."
"Fair enough, but I don't want a war."
"Oh, it won't come to that, sir," said Dickens. "I've seen a few barricades in my time. It generally ends peaceful. The new man takes over, people get bored, everyone goes home, see?"
"But Winder is a nutter," said Vimes.
"Tell me one that wasn't, sir," said Dickens.
"Sir," thought Vimes. "Or sir, at least.
And he's older than me. Oh, well. I might as well be good at it."
"Sergeant," he said, "I want you to pick 20 of the best. Men that have seen action. Men you can trust. And I want them down at Shambling Gate and alert." Dickens looked puzzled.
"But that's bad, sir. And it's right down behind us, it is. I thought maybe..."
"Down at the gate, sergeant," Vimes insisted. "They're to watch for anyone sneaking up to unbar it. And I want the guard on the bridges to be strengthened. Put down caltrops on the bridge. String wires. I want anyone who tries to come at us over the bridge to have a really bad time. Understand?"
"Do you know something, sir?"
said Dickens with his head on one side.
"Let's just say I'm thinking like..."